This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm stationed. Somebody, it never fails. I've been doing A's pre and post for 8 years on this station. And during the A's game, what people will say is, online or on the app, hey, how come the game's not on? You guys suck. You don't know what you're doing. You're all idiots.
Our fault.
And now I'm getting that for Radio.com. Remember, MLB, you can only listen to MLB through the MLB paid app. You can't listen online unless you pay MLB. You can listen on the radio all you want for free right here at 95.7. So I just throw that out there, yeah. Radio.com. This right now is content free of charge.
Right. Radio on Radio.com.
It'd be pretty bad if you were paying for this, right?
No, I would think you'd be getting a bargain. How much you paying?
All right. So as we look now, I want to ask you about something that we don't talk a lot about here, and that is the East. Because when Danny Ainge said, hey, I hate the fact that people say that now that there's no LeBron, we're going to walk to a title.
Right.
We still have to face LeBron in the title game. And my response is the Warriors might take care of that for you.
They might.
Yeah. So how do you look at the East now?
Well, now that the trade for Kawhi to Toronto, it all depends on what Kawhi's game plan is for Toronto.
If he shows up.
If he shows up and if he's healthy and if he's the Kawhi that we last saw prior to Zaza, you know, the unfortunate incident with Zaza in the playoffs. If he's that Kawhi, then Toronto got better.
What did Zaza yell into the mic behind Steph?
I don't know.
Do we remember?
My favorite Zaza yell.
There's four of us in
nothing
here.
Easy.
That's it.
I thought that was with his previous team. I don't know. But I yelled that.
But I think he yelled it again.
Yeah. Nothing easy.
You know what they don't do anymore? Because it's kind of the time of Bogut. I'm in love with the Coco. I got it on the load. Yeah, you remember that?
I do. Okay, yeah. So Toronto.
That's so 2015.
Toronto got better if Kawhi is Kawhi.
Yeah.
Boston is going to be obviously very, very good. Now, There's still time left in the, what's Boston going to do with, I mean, they have a great problem by having all that talent, but they just had this young core that everybody kind of fell in love with, and they figured out how to play with each other. They figured out how to handle adversity, and they did a masterful job of it. And now two of those guys are going to lose their spots in the starting lineup. I'm curious to see how that goes. Brad Stevens is going to have to navigate that.
Do you think that the Cavaliers are a playoff team now?
Hell no.
Wouldn't you think that they should trade? But Kevin Love is a very good player.
He's
not excellent, but he's really good.
Yes, I agree.
Wouldn't you trade him? Because you're not going to make the playoffs with him. Don't you keep building and trade?
Absolutely.
You have to trade him, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if you think anything at all about Kevin Love as a human being, then you'll move him because you'd feel bad for him being stuck with this Cavaliers team. It'd be a waste of talent.
Think about this. The starting four are still there. George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. But instead of LeBron James, say hello to Sadie Osmond.
Woo!
That's a little bit of a drop-off.
That guy was actually one of LeBron's favorite guys on the team for some reason.
But still the best player on the planet, and then you drop off. Anything's going to be... It's like when Bleich's ERA went from infinity to 54.
Right.
It's a precipitous... It's the only guy in the history of the world that was thrilled with an ERA of 54 because it wasn't a sideways 8.
Well, that's why I almost thought you were kidding when you asked me if I thought the Cavaliers were going to be a playoff team. When you lose LeBron, it doesn't matter who you plug in.
It is the East.
See, I don't know. I think Philly is damn close. I thought it was brilliant that they brought J.J. Redick back. I had heard a lot of people say, oh, he's overrated. They don't need him. No, they do because he spaces the floor. He can fill it up. And as much as I hate to admit it because I can't stand Duke guys in general, J.J. Redick as a pro has won me over. He's a tough SOB, man. I'll take him on my team any day.
What do you think about the Warriors' addition of Jonas Jerebko?
I think it's an underrated pickup, man. I actually think he's going to help him now. He's kind of, look, Omri Caspi, I thought, was going to help him too. Granted, health was an issue.
I liked that too at the time.
But he just, he, I don't know if it's because of health or if he lost confidence, but he was never the Omri Caspi we thought we were getting. Drepko, if we get the Drepko that I've seen, then it's a hell of a pickup. I like it.
This is what Drepko is to me. He's 14 regular season minutes and four playoff minutes.
Exactly.
You average your starters about 28 minutes during the regular season because you will have to have them go 38 minutes. That's what Kerr does. So those 14 minutes will be picked up by Drepko, and then when the playoff starts, he'll go down to four when those guys need a breather.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right to me. Mm-hmm. And for the guy, he's also a really low maintenance guy in terms of, you know, in granted, he's never been anything close to a superstar. So it's not like he could say that I need this, I need that. But I've heard nothing but good things about him as a teammate. They're going to love him.
Well, it's kind of funny when the Warriors call you. It's kind of like when Pachulia said, I couldn't believe they wanted me. And the answer is yes, before you can even say yes.
Like, right.
Do you want to go to the Warriors? I don't know. Let's see what the Hawks are offering. No.
Yeah.
You immediately go. And the other thing is, I mean, you're right. When you're worried about who your ninth guy is in the rotation.
Oh, I forgot about the Hawks. They got a lot better with Carmelo Anthony. Oh, wait.
When you think, though, about Drepko being 6'10", you know, he can rebound a little bit. But the thing that the Warriors like about him is that he's not afraid to take a three. And I think that's what disappointed me about Caspi, is that when the Warriors would play the Kings, he always seemed to be kind of a tough little defender.
Remember that shootout with Steph?
Yeah, and then he would hit. He stopped shooting. It was almost like, well, they don't need me to shoot. And it's like, no, while you're in, go ahead and shoot. You know, we can't just have Swaggy P take all these extra shots. You're in there, take some shots.
The reason we were all excited, I don't know if excited is overselling it, but when Caspi was signed, if you were a Warrior fan that really pays attention, you were kind of stoked because you saw Caspi and Steph have these shootouts where, and I'm talking about at Oracle, Caspi was not afraid to pull up from 27, 28, and he was drilling them against the Warriors. So that's what Warriors fans had seen, and that's what they expected, and they got almost the opposite of that.
People want more Al voice. All right, now. PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795.
I want more Al voice. We're going to do more football later. You're going to do more Al.
510 wants more Bochy of you, and he says it reminds him of Sling Blade, and that is your intent.
That's exactly. It's Billy Bob Bochy. It's a mix of Sling Blade and Bruce Bochy, and that's why I always add the...
So it's not Bruce Thornton. That
not
sounds
Bruce
stupid.
Thornton. Yeah. I reckon I'll just have some of them French fried potatoes. Mad Bum's a horse.
Have you ever said taters in your life?
Taters? I used to call home runs taters when I was in Little League.
Yeah, that was kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I remember Bill King told the story about, you know, and he grew up in kind of rural Illinois, that his friend in school brought a mason jar for lunch every day that was full of half potatoes and half tomatoes. And he said, what are you eating? And the guy goes, taters and maters. That was his lunch.
I've never heard Maters for tomatoes.
Well, isn't Maters one of the cars in the Cars?
It's car the isn't it the tow truck Mater?
We look over there to guys.
Well, we
who
look
are
to the young guys. Yeah.
You know why? You know how you can tell a guy's under 30? His baseball hat is backwards.
You know how you can tell that we're doing an outstanding job on the air is that we look in there and neither of them paying attention to us.
I saw this thing. You know they have the Rugby Sevens World Cup going on right now at AT&T Park?
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of, like, ruggers. I saw a guy walking with his dad to AT&T today, and the dad was wearing a kilt. And I admire the confidence of the Scotsman. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
But the son's walking with him. And I'm thinking, the son is either thinking, my dad is the bomb, or I'm humiliated right now. It's probably, if he's Scottish, then he doesn't care. You know, in World War I, when the Germans fought the Scottish, they called them the ladies from hell.
Ooh.
They didn't understand what the deal was you're wearing a kilt during combat. But I digress. I saw on TV, as I got here earlier, I was prepping for the pregame show. They had some network had the Rugby Sevens on. It was great. You talk about a youngster. There was some kind of literally a scrum on the sideline, and a guy sitting in the front row was like typing something on his phone, and he never looked up. And I thought the whole reason you go to this is to see probably what's like an inch in front of your face.
Right.
Never looked up. And that's Rob Manfred's nightmare.
Well, that's what's so interesting about when you look around at AT&T Park And when that park first opened, it got a lot, it didn't get a lot of criticism, but the people that went to games got a lot of criticism because supposedly they were on their laptops or on their phones and not paying attention.
And they that was the first park to offer Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And so whenever I hear that, I'm like, okay, they're just, when I see it for myself, then I'll be bummed by it. So I started kind of paying attention more and looking at, you know, from, they have a great press box at AT&T, maybe the best in the business now that Anaheim has sent people packing. But I did like a lap around the yard one time for this specific purpose. And I'll never forget, I found 38 people either looking at their phone or with their laptop and paying zero attention to the game. I'm like, yeah, this is a problem. It's also an issue of like safety. And like part of me, of course, I don't want somebody to get hurt, but it wouldn't have bummed me out if somebody got domed by a foul ball because they weren't looking, as long as they didn't get hurt.
Well, I don't think you can get domed as you would
say.
Sure,
you can. If you got a big melon and you just take it like a knot on the head.
By the way, they did some Rob Manfred dream interpretation, and his nightmare literally is that Jason Voorhees, he's at Camp Crystal Lake, and Jason's about to stab him, and then Jason gets out his phone, and with an Instagram filter, takes a puppy selfie of himself.
And tagging it with a complaint about how long the game is.
You know, it's funny. It seems to me, and I don't know why, I think this year the baseball games have flown by.
Do you even pay attention to that? Because I don't.
You know what?
And I hate this argument
that
shorten the game and you'll get more fans. No, you won't.
Right. And I agree with you. And if you're a baseball fan, you're a baseball fan regardless of age. Millennials get a bad rap with that. They understand what they're getting into. It's a pastime, like sitting in a hammock, walking the dog, laying at the beach. It's a pastime. You don't want somebody going, come on, come on, come on, come on. The reason I've always paid attention, even when I worked 10 years in TV, because it affects what's coming after. So if I have like a long show afterwards,
right,
and I know the game is only going to be 2 hours and 15 minutes, I realize I got to come up with another half hour of content. That's why I am aware of how fast they're going. And I can tell you this, with nine innings and you want the game to be 3 hours, you want three full innings to be an hour each.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the top of the fifth at the hour mark, you're screwed. And that's when you want some long, long seventh or eighth to kind of catch you up again.
Like we got today.
Yes, exactly. We got last night.
Bay.
Last night as well. I mean, Shamania was 12 up, 12 down. It looked like it was going to, you know, be kaboom. I wasn't worried because I knew you were coming in.
Why did they take him out, Rick?
Because 98 pitch. The thing that was weird and the reason I wrote a note.
Is Melvin really a 100 pitch guy like that? I didn't know that about him.
No, he is. He doesn't like
such a good baseball man. Really?
That's
really new school, that approach.
The thing that I thought was weird was that he took him out after an out. He wanted Pagan to face Slater. It's the lefty-righty thing. And if we know anything about Bob Melvin, he is obsessed with the lefty-righty thing. And he's been manager of the year in two different leagues.
I know. He's a great, great manager. Dude.
It doesn't always work out. Pagan gets Slater out. We're not even talking about it right now. And the A's won the game, so we...
I am. I would still be talking about it. Seriously, you went into this game, and last night they were talking about, you know, Familia's going to be here, we got bullpen. And so you needed a guy to go deep. He was going deep before you took him out early. Just didn't like it.
Coming up next, we'll have more baseball talk. Alex Pavlovich at the bottom of the hour, and good for ball, bad for ball. No more commercials the rest of the way. He's Urban, I'm Tittle. Come on back, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you. We'll take you all the way up until 8 o'clock, and then we'll throw it back to the network. Good luck calling in there, so get in now. 888-957-9570 and the PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. Good for ball, bad for ball coming up in a little bit at the bottom of the hour. We're also going to talk to Alex Pavlovich, who covers the Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area. And it's interesting, Herbs, because we've been promoing, actually, the fact that tomorrow, Monday, at noon, Greg Papa will be back from a little vacay, and he's going to explain exactly his side of the story of what went down. We were a little bit shocked a few days ago when we heard that Greg Papa is out of the play-by-play voice for the Oakland Raiders, and 79-year-old Brent Musburger is in, despite the fact of Al's close ties with Greg, that he had, despite the fact that Brent Musburger is a national guy. It kind of reminds me when the A's brought in Dick Stockton, a national guy with no...
Musburger's based in Vegas, though, right?
I don't know where he lives.
I think he lives in Vegas.
I don't know, who cares where he lives, right? I guess maybe Mark does? I don't know. We'll find out. But when you heard, your first reaction, were you befuddled, or did you say, sounds about right, or somewhere in between?
My first thought was, is this just a petty move by Mark Davis? Because I've heard... I've never asked Greg about it, but I've heard that Greg and Al were fairly close, and I've also heard somebody go as far as saying that Greg was the sports-savvy son that Al never had. And if that's the case, and Mark picked up on that vibe, I could see Mark resenting Pop. I don't know if that's the case or not. That's just stuff that I'm hearing. But more than anything, I just felt selfishly, I felt bad. I like listening to Greg call Raiders games, man. He's one of those guys who, yeah, I heard some, even Mark Davis in the release, said, much like a certain generation, he mentioned Bill King and Holy Toledo being a big part of their childhood. The Raider Nation will feel that way about Greg Papa. And I'm like, yeah, so why are you getting rid of him? You're still in Oakland. I just thought as long as they were in Oakland, Greg was going to continue to call Raider games. Greg is synonymous with Raiders football. My God, Ice Cube name checks him in the Raider song. It's just, it's going to be the most anticipated return from a vacation in the history of radio. So I don't want to say too much because I don't know much. I just know that I am going to miss Greg Papa saying touchdown Raiders.
There's no doubt about it. And I think about when they, the fractious issue that they had with Bill King and him going out. I think about Rich Marotta and Joel Myers. Joel Myers, who I interviewed a couple times when he was in town. He's now the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans when they're in town for the playoffs. But, It's just not a fit, you know, and I think about how, I mean, when Al died, I was doing a Saturday shift in 2011 at 95.7 The Game, went in, didn't think there was going to be much to talk about. You know, we just had a regular guest, whatever. Well, we found out that morning that Al had passed the night before. So I texted Greg, can we get you? He was in Houston. Matt Millen called back. We talked to him. And then right around near the end of the show, Greg calls out of the blue and I interviewed him and he's crying.
Yeah.
On the air.
Right.
And it's one of the most memorable interviews I ever did was with Greg because he was so teary-eyed. Al meant the world to him.
Yeah, he did.
His West Coast father. And I just think about those connections and Greg confiding in him, and Al making him his confidant. Who should I fire? Who should I hire? That type of thing. Or I don't know, maybe if it's a financial issue or maybe they just think that people in Vegas know who Musburger is and they don't know who Greg is. It's just weird.
Well, Musburger is based in Vegas and he's got when he retired from, I forget who he last worked with, but he openly embraces the gambling side of sports. And I think that was what his main gig in Vegas was. I mean, what better place to be if you're going to build a show or a career around sports gambling than Vegas. But here's the worst reason for this move, if it is, you know, obviously they're all theories until we hear definitively from Greg what happened. They're all going to be just theories. But one of them was that the A's just wanted to expedite the transition. That makes no sense whatsoever. The transition does not begin until you stop playing in Oakland and move to Las Vegas while you are still in Oakland.
Right. Even if you tweet, go Golden Knights.
Right. There's no transitioning going on just yet. Greg Papa means everything to Raiders fans. It's another big middle finger to Raiders fans.
And by the way, we had some sad news today when you think about Raider coaches. And it was really shocking considering he was only 56 years old. But Tony Sparano passed away today, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and apparently he's the Vikings offensive line coach. He had complained of chest pains on Thursday.
Former Dolphins head coach, right?
Yeah, taken to the hospital, and was discharged on Friday. And the first thing I thought of, I felt bad because on Friday's show I was on till midnight and I ripped him.
Four?
Well, just because I was talking about transitioning coaches, and when he tried to keep the interim job, yeah. I was at a press conference in Alameda, and he said, I should be the full-time head coach next year because of my body of work. Remember, he took over for Dennis Allen. And then there were a lot of people in the media that were actually talking about how great he was. And I almost never, ever try to challenge somebody or say something incendiary, but I said, well, what do you think about the, he kept saying the body of work. I said, nine times the Raiders got on a plane and lost all nine, if you count London.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about the plane? He said it was nothing about the plane. And I said, well, you said body of work. You were the author to the worst loss in the history of the Raiders, 52-0 at St. Louis. And he's like, yeah, but the body of work. And I was thinking, so now I feel bad that I said that on the air and the guy passes. But he's only 56. That's really bad.
Yeah, that's obviously, look, you can't feel bad about that, dude. You're doing your job.
Well, and at the time he was alive.
How long ago was this?
At the time he was alive.
Right.
That was a few years ago, right before Del Rio.
So a few years ago you had a testy exchange.
But then I mentioned it Friday, though.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, it's a shame.
You're a horrible person, Rick. Is that what you're looking for?
He's got two sons and a daughter and his wife and four grandchildren. And I just have to say our thoughts and condolences. Yeah. As a guy, you know, he was, we were judging him on his job, not judging him as a guy.
You
so
know,
we feel really bad. And seriously, though, I feel our prayers go out to his family.
No doubt.
That's tragic.
No doubt.
He's 56 years old.
You know, a rough part of the story is that he did go to the hospital with chest pains and they released him.
Yeah.
Whoever signed off on him getting to leave the hospital, I don't know. It's just, that stinks.
You know what? Let's change the subject. Let's go to Drew, who's out in the orchards of Oakley. What's going on, Drew?
What's going on, Rick? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'm just hanging out.
All right. We've all said what's up, and I'm doing great. Let's go, Drew. Come on.
Okay. Realistically, as an A's fan here, if we get the wild card game, the one game wild card matchup, realistically, we're probably going to face the Yankees and Cervino. What A's? What pitcher do you think are we going to throw out there for the one-game wild card?
Well, that's you're actually asking me that question?
It's impossible to answer.
No, there's only one answer. Well, unless you burn him getting there, there's only one answer, Drew, right?
I don't know.
You would pick someone else over Manaea?
Whoa, wait a second. Most of the times, teams that are scrambling to get that last wild card, they're...
That's what I said.
Manaea may have pitched
unless,
2 days before.
Unless you burn him, but if you can pick one...
In a perfect world,
there's only one choice, right, Drew?
I mean, yeah. Right now, as of right now, yeah.
Who else could possibly be the other guy?
In a perfect world, you have everybody available. How could you not go with Sean Manaea among your starters?
I mean, just tell me another name that you might even consider outside of Manaea.
Realistically, you know what? Manaea is the only choice unless we get like a resurging. Healthy Dano Mangan.
I wouldn't even watch the wild card game if Mangan started it because it's already a fait accompli. It's done. We lost. Drew, am I being too hard on you?
You know, you're not. And, you know, it's a question that we all have to face. You know, like, are we confident though in the Manaea?
Well, Drew, it's like saying, let's say you need a save. Who do the A's go to? Ryan Dahl or Trinan? I mean, it's the same exact thing you're saying right now between Manaea and Mangan.
night and day, right?
It's the same exact thing if you were to say, I don't know, maybe Dahl's hot. We don't want Trinan.
But, you know, right. Realistically, though, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, we're going to need Manaea to step up and... You know,
they traded the whole farm to get Lester and he didn't step up. He stunk in the wild card game. So listen, I would love to just get there. By the way, Drew, thanks for the call, man. I would love to get there. We're a few more months away from such a thing.
Yeah. And the unfortunate part about being one of those wild card teams is usually you are having to pull out all the stops just to get there, which means you don't have the luxury of picking whoever you want to pitch that wild card game.
The A's did. Sonny Gray won the last day of the season. I remember working that game.
Right.
Had they lost, they would have had a one-game playoff at Safeco. King Felix might have actually gone to the playoffs. Sonny Gray throws a complete game. And Lester, the Kansas City killer, who had the best record against the Royals of any pitcher in the history of baseball, and two blown saves. Doolittle, the all-star closer, blew us. And we love Sean Doolittle, but when the chips were down, he blew the save.
Yep.
I'm just pointing out what happened.
By the way, Friday I was working with Guru and somehow the topic of Sonny Gray came up and I said I would take Sonny Gray back in a heartbeat. There's some guys who just can't just don't pitch well in New York. For whatever reason, there's guys who put on those pinstripes and they cease to be who they were prior to the pinstripes. I think Sonny's one of those guys. I thought he would thrive in New York, but he's not. He's getting hammered and he's getting beat on by the media. If he came back to Oakland somehow, I think he'd refine his magic. And I think Guru's among those that think once you stink, like you've been good and then you stink, and it's going to be really difficult to ever be good again. But I would take Sonny back, wouldn't
you? Well, I mean, your own personal friend Barry Zito was fantastic, stunk to high heaven, right, and got good again.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it wasn't for the longest period of time, but bottom line, would you take Sonny back?
I would take Sonny back, but the Yankees, there's no way they would trade him. There's no way, despite the fact everything you said, the ERA over 5, getting beat up. When Montgomery had the Tommy Johns, unless they make a trade.
I mean, he's getting, like, the tabloids have headlines that say, lose this bum.
Do you think Cashman's going to bow down to Red Toppers? When Montgomery had Tommy John, Sonny Gray is now the fourth starter. They can't afford, they're not going to use him in the playoffs, probably, but they can't afford to trade him right now. Because, okay, and he actually had a good start the last time out. Let's go to Joe, who is in Napa. What's up, Joe?
So, straight question, no follow-up, but if Manaea were unavailable for a wild card, would you just consider planning for a bullpen game from the start?
No. Thanks for the call, Joe. I wouldn't do a bullpen game from the start because the A's aren't acclimated to that. They're not Tampa Bay. You'd have to go with, and that might be some horrifying situation where Trevor Cahill's the second best pitcher or Frankie Montas is the second best pitcher, and then you're going to have to grit your teeth and watch the game through your fingers.
Yeah. Why am I having a hard time with Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson? I just keep...
Well, this is the thing. I know we kind of lump them together because they came up together and everything. Trevor Cahill, at this point of his career, is better than Brett Anderson. Brett Anderson is still the guy whose ERA is over 6 who always gets hurt. Cahill has shown flashes of getting the ERAs in the 3s.
Okay.
So it's. I feel like when Cahill pitches, the A's have like a 50-50 shot to win. And when Anderson pitches, it goes down to about, I don't know, 15-85.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You're right. I do lump those guys together. I bet a lot of A's fans do.
All right. Speaking of the Bay Bridge series, someone who is covering it for the San Francisco Giants, as he does very aptly for NBC Sports Bay Area, is our friend Alex Pavlovich. And Alex, first of all, your thoughts on the 3 games at the Coliseum and in opening Mount Davis and a really raucous affair. It almost felt like the playoffs, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought all 6 of them, like this to me was, you know, that there have been some series that have been very quiet, and to see these two teams, and I don't know if it was the kind of rivalry as much as it was maybe just two teams that really need every single win at this point, and I think you saw that on the field, not just the last 3, but the 3 before that at AT&T Park, and the fans will certainly get into it, and it was really cool being in Oakland. I mean, I've had my fun with A's fans over the years, but when they fill that place, it's a really fun environment, I think, and it shows you that, you know, the fan base is there if they can figure this out and put a winning product on the field year after year. I think it would be a really cool place to watch a game and a really cool place for the fans to kind of build something, and hopefully they can do that going forward.
And not only that, when you think about the 6 games, this isn't like last year, which is which team stinks the least. Every one of these wins and losses, they're kind of huge right now.
Yeah, and especially the time of year when you look at the deadline coming up, and we've seen what the A's did already, but the Giants are trying to figure out what they want to do, and I think the A's probably wanted to look at the first week or so here in the second half and figure out if they need to add more or if it's worth adding more and really making a run at that spot. So that to me kind of added some urgency for these teams, and we know that Bruce Bochy talked to his guys coming out of the break and said it's important to get off to a good start here, and I think the A's felt the same way, and I felt like you saw that on the field during these 3 games.
Hey, Alex, Pablo came clutch with another huge hit today, and I've already heard some fans looking forward to when Longoria comes back. What's going to happen with Pablo? Well, he'll go back to the role that they envisioned for him when the season started, but or is there more to it? Will they have to figure out a way to get the Panda more run, because he's been much better than most people expected he'd be?
I think there's a little bit more to it, but the one thing with him is he hasn't hit lefties just at all. I mean, to the point that Chase Darno has gotten those spots. So in this division, you're going to face a lot of them with what the Dodgers have. I mean, they They have the three guys at the top of their rotation. The Rockies now have guys. I mean, we know in Arizona there's Corbin and Ray. So just I think organically that kind of sets us up where Longoria can come back and get most of those starts. The interesting thing is against, you know, in other situations, against right-handed pitchers, because Pablo has hit him well, and Longoria's splits are pretty severe in terms of who has hit this year. So I do think we'll see a little bit of a change, but not really too much, because they did bring Evan here to be the third baseman through 2022, and I know he had a rough defensive first half, but in theory, he should be by far your best defensive option out there.
So are you suggesting that there might be a platoon situation? Because the only time you could do it without Longoria really knowing he's in a platoon is just say, hey, Evan, you're coming back from the injury. We want to take it easy with you, give us some games off here and there. I mean, you could work it that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does make it a little bit easier, and especially with the fact that I do expect to see him in Seattle on Tuesday. I think they have a lefty going in Paxton, and it makes sense for Evan to be there. And that does give you a little bit of leeway, I think, the first couple weeks here to go, hey, you didn't really get a lot of rehab games. Let's make sure that you're fully okay. But at the same time, we do want you out there and do want your bat out there. And certainly they have some trips coming up, and we always hear about rest. So Bruce Bochy is pretty good at figuring out the situation. And I'll give Pablo credit, too. I mean, he has not caused any trouble and has not gone into Bochy's office and said, why am I not getting more time? And he didn't do that at the beginning of the year when he was hitting pretty well, and I don't expect him to do that now.
Yes, the entire Bay Area will be rooting for the Giants up at Safeco. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's funny, as I spent so much time covering the A's doing pre and post, I had read about Alan Hansen and seen him a little bit, but after these six games, I'm really impressed. He's a very confident player. He's fast. He's got a lot of swagger, and I'm just thinking about how, you know, Panic was basically traded, had Stanton agreed to it. Are they looking down the line to, I mean, I know that Hansen is 25 years old and it's such a short sample size, but this kid really impresses me.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he brings something that we don't really see with the Giants, and you don't really see with a lot of teams. I mean, he kind of has a little bit of Javi Baez and Puig and these guys who just at times are going to run right past the stop sign and drive you nuts. And I think at some point this year, we're going to see him do that, and really maybe it'll lead to something that goes the other way.
Well, he got picked off a couple of times early when he first came up.
But I, you know, in terms of some of these plays where he tries to score on something you haven't really seen before, at some point there's going to be a good throw and it's going to get him. But the flip side of that is just he is capable of changing a game with his speed, and we've seen it, and they haven't had it, and it's something that they need in there, whether it's on an everyday basis or whether he's coming off the bench. He's been really good as a pinch hitter. I think his issue, as you saw in last night's game, is defensive, and even at second base, which is the spot that they feel most comfortable with, you know, there were two pop-ups there that he dropped, and a third one that would have dropped if not for Brandon Crawford. So that is going to be something that is obviously a huge feather in Joe's cap and what he does defensively, but a lot has changed since Joe got hurt and just in the 3 weeks, and the first time he got hurt too, when Hansen got that shot. It's no longer, I think, a situation where you put him in the lineup every single day. I think they are going to find a lot of spots for Hansen and find opportunities where he can try to do what he's done the last couple weeks.
Hey, Alex, given that Samardzija's back on the DL and that the young guys continue to pitch well, the fact that he's on the DL again, is that make it more likely or at least open up the possibility that they consider bringing him back in the bullpen and be able to sell it to him like, hey, man, you've been dinged up. Your workload isn't where it needs to be. These young guys, we want to keep them rolling. I mean, is that a possibility?
I think they, you know, I don't think they would have to sell it to him. I think he would be okay with it. I mean, this is a guy who understands that they gave him that contract. It is what it is, and he wants to go out there. I do think a lot of people have missed the fact that he could have just shut this down. I mean, he could have just said, I need 3 months to rest, but he has tried repeatedly. I mean, from the time he came back in April to pitch through this, and he tried the last time he came back too, where he made just two starts, and he wanted to keep going that night when Bochy took him out. He wanted to stay out there, and he wanted to start again 5 days later. So I don't know that you'd have to sell him on a plan, because I think he just wants to go out there and pitch when he can. The problem with him is he's having trouble warming up, and it's just something where unless you put him in a situation where maybe twice a week you find a spot where he can really soak up some innings out of the bullpen and you feel he can do that. It's just really hard to do because you guys know, I mean, there's just not a lot of spots where you can kind of tell a guy, yeah, you can go out there and warm up in the bullpen for 12, 15 minutes and you're going to have time to stay loose during the game. That's just not the life of a reliever.
Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with Alex Pavlovich from NBC Sports. A couple more questions for Alex, who covers the Giants. It's weird how I kind of feel sorry for Mark Melancon, which is stupid. The guy has a $62 million contract, but yeah. Last night he's just trying to pull a chair out of the way, and it almost hurt the Giants. Luckily for the Giants, it didn't matter. And then today, a blown save. And I know the ERA is under 3, but the guy just looks like a shell of his former lights-out 45 saves a year person. Are we getting closer to the old Mark Melancon?
You know, I thought we were the last couple times I saw him on the field, and it's been rough. I mean, the A's are, look, that's a good lineup. They're giving guys a tough time. But I did think before the end of the first half and right before the break there were two or three times where you saw him. And today even, I mean, the velocity was what you expect from him. So the stuff has gotten better, and it's noticeably better, I think, than it was a month ago and than it was for most of last season. The problem is that, I mean, he's still not a guy who's pitching back-to-back days. There's still our workload concerns there, and there, you know, it's just tough for a guy when you start in that situation and you get that big contract and you come in and have a first year like that, and then you start your second year the way he has. I mean, it's tough to ever find your footing and ever find that position where I think people are going to fully trust him again, no matter how he pitches, because I thought he had pitched very well for 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just going to be a situation where, I mean, he's going to have to do this for months and maybe even get a couple saves and get some outs in big spots, I think, before people fully feel like he's back to what he was.
Hey, Alex, earlier in the program, I said that I didn't really learn anything that I didn't already know about either of these teams in this series, not just this series, but the three games they played before the All-Star break. Now, I know you haven't learned anything new about the Giants in this series, but in terms of the A's, I mean, I'm sure that you follow them. You know a little bit more about them just because of proximity of where you work, but did you learn anything new about the Oakland A's over these six games?
Yeah, no, I definitely did. I mean, the thing for us is I try to follow them, and I certainly follow the beat writers, and I mean, we have them on our air as well, so I follow as much as I can, but they're usually playing at the same time as the Giants, so you don't get to watch them a whole lot, and you just kind of see the numbers, and you see that they've won whatever that run was that they had at the end of the first half. But to me, I mean, a couple things stood out. The lineup, it's hard to quantify sometimes, but just talking to guys with the Giants, they really just kind of grind and grind and grind. And I think, they've had a lot of late wins. It seems like not just against the Giants, but you guys can tell me better than I would know, but it does seem like they've had a lot of those. And it just seems like they're grinding teams out a little bit. And that lineup, even though there's some young guys in there, they've done a good job of that. And then the other thing that really stood out to me, I had not seen the two guys at the back end of the bullpen, really. I mean, we don't get to see Trinan a whole lot or Trevino. So, Trevino? Is it Trevino?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's
there's no Enye Trevino.
Yeah. You just see guys come in and you see them throw a 99. But I had not seen them, and the fact that they were able to do what they did and go out there. And really, I mean, in today's game, it's, I think, imperative for teams to do that. And a lot of teams have tried to do that, where you kind of have a couple guys who can do it from the seventh inning on. And they were durable, and that, I think, is something that is big, not during the season, but in the postseason as well, when maybe you can shut a game down in the sixth or seventh. And to go out and get Familia for what seemed like not very much, I mean, that is something, I think if you're an A's fan, you should be very excited about what they've built and hope that they keep going over the next week and maybe go get another starting pitcher or something, because what they have at the back end of the bullpen, if they're able to get a lead, it's pretty much over. And I don't think that's really limited to the regular season. I think if they get into the postseason, that is a formula we've seen from other teams, where you throw those arms at teams and maybe get 2 innings out of your closer and 2 innings out of the guy in front of him. It can really work.
Last question for you, Alex. Every team has a guy that was unsung who stepped up, and you think about a guy drafted by the Twins as an outfielder and signs a minor league deal in Derek Rodriguez. And he looked great against the A's the other night, and 4 wins in a row, an ERA under 3, minimum wage. Is this the kind of thing where the league hasn't got a book on him yet, or is, because he certainly looks very impressive?
Yeah, I mean, you keep thinking that, and I have felt that, and I keep waiting for maybe the other shoe to drop. And, you know, we've seen that happen with guys a lot. I remember last year, we all remember Christian Arroyo's first week, and then it doesn't take long for scouts to figure you out. But it's been a while now that he's been up here, and he's pitched quite a bit, and I think 8 or 9 starts is up around 50, 60 innings. So the book's out on him. People know what he's throwing, but he's still able to do it. And I just think when you talk to him and when you see the demeanor, it is something that, whether it came from his father or whether it came from being around big league clubhouses, there's just a lot of swagger and a lot of confidence, and you always hear about pitchers talk about conviction, and I think he does have that on every single pitch, and Buster puts a sign down, and he's ready to go, and he believes in it, and it just reminds me of what we've seen in the past from when Matt Cain is going right, when Vogelsong's going right. I mean, they'll throw four pitches at you, and it's not 97, 98, but it's 94, and it works, and I just think, you know, it's looking more and more like it's for real, and I really would love to know from a Twins perspective what they were thinking, because it's insane to me that you could have somebody like that and not find a spot on your 40-man roster. I mean, forget about putting him in your rotation, just the fact that they didn't need him in their organization anymore, given the issues they have, but it certainly has worked out for the Giants, and I think the last couple weeks, the last two or three starts he's made, that really starts to make you believe that this is for real, and it's not big just for this year, but I mean, this is a guy that they now control for 6 years.
Well, if Big Poppy and JD Martinez can get cut, I guess we should be able to believe anything we've been
saying. It does happen. Yeah.
Every now and then. That's Alex. Yeah. Alex Pavlovich. Follow him on Twitter at Pavlovich NBCS. And of course, see him on NBC Sports Bay Area covering the orange and black. Alex, thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. We look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Anytime, guys.
All right. We've come to the part of the show where really there are only two ways you can look at life.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
Everything, everything, everything. And it's not just sports. It's real life. It's big things. It's small things. I'll keep it simple here. Stouffer's Turkey Tetrazzini. Good for Ball. It's that simple, Rick.
I was raised on Hungry Man frozen TV dinners. Salisbury steak right here.
Stouffer's Turkey Tetrazzini. That's when you like you want to go Big Willie style one night up from the Hungry Man Salisbury steak.
I was. This is 30 years ago. But I was a two-sport NCAA athlete. What if I ate good food growing up?
Maybe probably be in the pros right now.
I can blame my parents. Perfect. Right? I can blame them for everything, just like everybody else.
All right. So I've given you, it really is that simple. One of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. You hang out with me long enough, you're going to hear me say both of those a lot. Young Hot Nick, our producer, his full name is Nick Brown, and he's a great dude. And he is going to lead us through this version of good for ball, bad for ball.
Well, before I get into a couple questions I have, you did earlier in the show toss it to our great listeners and fans if they had some questions for good for ball, bad for ball, and they took to the text line. So the first question, 408 area code number, being ridiculed for dating a porn star, good for ball or bad for ball?
Jimmy G, man. Some people think that was his first misstep as a 49er. The guy he's young, he's handsome, he's single, he's rich, he's an NFL quarterback. Do your thing, kid. Do whatever you want. Do whoever you want. Everything Jimmy G does, including being out with a porn star that I probably wouldn't be out with myself, but hey, do your thing. Good for ball.
Now I'd say bad for ball.
Why?
Only because it's the sort of thing where...
What if they connected on an intellectual level?
I just think about, it's not about what you want when you are the face of a franchise, the highest paid player in the history of a franchise. You have to think, before I do this, will this make my franchise look weird? So to me, that's the first thing Jimmy G has done where I think now that he's stupid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stupid?
Stupid. I think you gotta be stupid to do that in public when you are the face of a franchise. That doesn't mean he's a bad football player. I think he's a fantastic football player. But it seems kind of dumb.
That's at Rick Tittle, Niners fans.
At Rick Tittle. Twitter. Yeah. This has nothing to do with the Niners. It has to do with him off the field. I just think, I mean, and it was just this ridiculous freak of nature.
Obviously, I'm half kidding. But okay, say he meets somebody. Look, you look at her and you know she's involved in adult film somehow. She's just a freak. She's built like you would expect a porn star to be built. But let's say he finds somebody who doesn't have those who you don't look at and say, that's got to be a porn star. And he goes out with him and everybody finds out that he went out with this porn star, but he didn't even really know. You think that's going to make him look bad?
Well, no.
Or the franchise look bad?
I don't think this is The Notebook Part 2. I think she's already very established in the industry and TMZ was following him around anyway. And even, I'm not saying don't do your thing. If you want to do your thing, do your thing. I'm not judging who you go out with. That's fine if he wants to do that. He said he can do whatever he wants. He's one of the most eligible bachelors in America. He's super good looking and he's super rich, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think that John Lynch and Jed York and Prarag Marathe saw that and went, ha ha ha, hey, will you look at that? I'm sure they cringed a little bit.
And then they called him the next morning and said, how was she, dude? How was she?
I don't think they called.
No?
No, I think they were like, oh man, the price you pay to have a good quarterback.
Well, Jimmy G makes everybody better at what they do, so she's going to be a better porn star. Let's move on.
Listen. Next question, 510 area code. Greg Papa being inducted into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. I don't know how we could get a basketball take on this, but good football, basketball.
Yeah, I don't either. Has he not been already?
I don't think he has
been. I guess if he hasn't been yet, maybe you could say
that. No, that's a slam dunk. Yeah. Warriors, A's, Giants, Raiders. Yeah. Am I missing one?
Earthquakes? No, he didn't do soccer.
Sharkies? I don't think so.
No. But do you have to be, I don't know, what's the criteria? Do you have to be, like, is it?
You have to make a donation to Bayshaw.
How many people have been, like, right in, because Greg's in his prime as a broadcaster, right?
You kind of let the dust settle.
Yeah,
do
you induct somebody while they're in their prime? No, you don't.
You have to wait 5 years unless you don't get 15% of the vote. Oh, wait, that's baseball. Never mind.
So stupid. You know my if I'm making the rules for baseball's Hall of Fame, right? These guys who have their own agendas. Yeah. Oh, nobody can be first ballot. Nobody can be unanimous. If somebody gets in with 90% or more and you didn't vote for them, you never get to vote again.
Here's my thing. This is what I say. Gary Myers of the New York Daily News printed in his own paper, had I known T.O. wouldn't go to the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't have voted for him. I think you forfeit your vote right there.
I do too.
Because you're judging him what he didn't do on the field.
Furthermore, I think the Hall of Fame is being petty by saying they're not even going to acknowledge T.O. All you have
He's on the program.
All you have to do is at the start of it, we're here to induct the 2018 Hall of Fame class, which includes da-da-da-da-da-da-da and Terrell Owens. And then move on. You don't ever have to mention him again. But don't not mention him because he did what he did. Then you're sinking to his petty level.
Do you know what I would do? I would just have a little laugh at his expense. Or as the kids used to say in the 80s, I would mold him.
Or clown him.
This is what I would do. I would say, here's Terrell Owens' bus. And I was going to say, it's too bad Terrell Owens couldn't make it today. But he could make it today. And he didn't feel like coming. Then everybody go, But the thing is, you know what's sad? No one in the world, no one in the history of the Hall of Fame wants to be there more than him. It's killing him. He bought presents, those vans, every other Hall of Famer. And he tweeted, look, I'm sending presents to all you guys. It was a sour decision he made. And unfortunately, he stayed stubborn. No one wants the attention and to be, it's like when Harry Carson said, don't put me in. Then he had that 45 minute diatribe stream of consciousness acceptance speech. I think this is killing T.O. that he made this dumb decision out of the heat of the moment. And now he's suffering because of it.
And now all of the people that helped him become what he became, I'm talking about high school coaches and college coaches, all they're not going to get their due. That kind of stinks for
them. They'll get their due at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, which is not the same as Canton.
Kind of not the same at all. All right, Nick, what you got? Thank you, by the way, to the texters for participating. I like that.
Yeah, some really good questions. All right, mine is a little bit out of the sports zone. Earlier this week in Indonesia, villagers killed nearly 300 crocodiles in a revenge death. Let me give you a little bit of the backstory.
What the hell, man?
A little bit of the backstory. Indonesia.
I love you for making this a good football, bad football, Nick.
This is the caboose pistol.
Oh, Nick's the best.
48-year-old victim was picking grass and some food for his kids. And he was killed by four crocodiles. The next day, the whole village was armed with knives, hammers, and clubs. And they went to revenge and killed over 300 alligators and crocodiles.
Well, the alligators are in North America. Yeah,
crocodiles. Yeah. Thank you, Rick. Yeah. Rick is just...
He's correcting everybody today.
He's fine, though. He's a dictionary. He's fine.
Oh, whatever.
Wait till Nick's in charge.
You didn't correct the guy who mispronounced Manaya. He said Manaya. Did you notice that at the very end of his call? He said Manaya.
Yeah, he did. Rick, let it go.
What, do you think I'm always just like as a vulture, like walking the perimeter of people's pronunciation? I'm on the ramparts of every single syllable.
All I know is that I did a little graffiti in one of the stalls in the bathroom here, and shortly after that, I saw you go in, and then the next time I used it, my grammar was corrected on my graffiti.
I haven't pointed out And well, that's because you said for a good time call herbs and you put T-Y-M-E, like Michael.
I got no comeback to that. Have you noticed, well done.
Have you noticed our rundown today? It's Rick Tittle and UBS.
Wow, so you're correcting him again.
That's it's funny. The United Barcel Service.
Wow. Okay.
All right. I would say it's bad for ball to do a alligator genocide with hammers.
Yes, I would agree.
Not even with PETA.
Look, I get it. And had I lived in that village, I cannot say with certainty that I wouldn't have grabbed my own club and joined the fun. But what do we know about or any of these? What did you say? I don't want to get it wrong. Is it Crocs or alligators?
Alligators in America, like Florida gators.
Merca.
We got 90 seconds here. Well, should we get one more in?
Yeah, one more, quick. I say bad for ball.
Herb, you got the last one.
Okay, last one. Tom Flores, we hear, is out as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know Greg Papa is out.
Yeah.
Lincoln Kennedy is going to be moved up to take over the Tom Flores spot to work with Brent Musburger.
Mm-hmm.
Good for ball or bad for ball?
It's fantastic. As much as I hate to see Coach go, he's 80 years old. When this whole thing went down, I said on the air, Link is the obvious choice. If that is the choice, I got nothing but love for Link. He's a professional. He played for the Raiders. He was a fantastic college and pro player. He's worked for the Raiders radio network. He's a perfect choice.
Yeah, and you're right. There was no other choice, and they're hoping that Raiders fans will forgive them for what he did, what they did to Flores and Papa, and it's all okay because now you have Link as the link to the old crew.
And tomorrow at noon, on the Afternoon Delight, the Greg Papa Show, Greg Papa will be on these airwaves at noon, and I don't know if he's just going to say, hey, they made a decision, I got to live with it, or he's going to have a huge... But the thing is that enough time has gone by that he's had a chance to think about what he's going to say, and he's going to tell everybody what happened.
Mark Davis talks to Al in his prayers and says, Dad, I fired Greg. What does Al say back?
Why would you fire Greg Papa? Brent Musburger... I remember in 1965, he couldn't pick up a check. We were in a laundromat in Tucson, Arizona.
Something like that. All right. Thanks for working with me, Herbs.
You're the best. I had the best time.
Have a great time. I'll see you next weekend for a little A's baseball. Rick Tittle, 95.7 again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.